class. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our plan for today is to make the first class, as we have been doing last semester, on the Holy Eucharist, and the second class on the Church's teaching on homosexuality. Our first class, therefore, is on the Holy Eucharist, and we begin with question
65.
Question 60 is, what is the difference between the universal priesthood and the hierarchical priesthood? I recommend reading the answer that we have for yourselves. However, what I will do in class now is give you my own reply, independent of the answer which you have printed out for you. The difference between the two forms of priesthood is crucial. What happened in the 16th century was the denial of what we are calling the hierarchical priesthood. And the reason for that is that all the Protestant, they call themselves reformers. I call it the Protestant Revolution. Without exception, all the founders of Protestantism, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Cranmer, all of them denied that Christ instituted a sacrament of holy orders. We believe, as Catholics, that Christ instituted the sacrament of the priesthood at the Last Supper. Indeed, it was the closing words at the Last Supper when Jesus told the apostles, "Do this in commemoration of me." That imperative has been defined by the Catholic Church as Christ's instituting the sacrament of the priesthood. In other words, at the Last Supper, Jesus instituted two sacraments, the sacrament of the Eucharist and the sacrament of the priesthood. Had he not instituted the sacrament of the priesthood, then what Christ gave his apostles at the Last Supper would have been the last time the Eucharist was received, as we believe it was the first time. Christ's words to the apostles, "Do this in commemoration of me, and not, comma, not, as our English Eucharistic liturgy now has, do this in, who can finish it? Please. Remembrance of me. It's commemoration. In any case, by those words, Christ gave the apostles, and only them, the power to both do what he had done, namely, change bread and wine into his own living body and blood, and pass on that power to those whom they in turn would ordain. Even St. Paul had to be ordained by one of the apostles. He was not ordained by Christ himself at the Last Supper. The apostles were the first bishops, and when they consecrated bishops like St. Paul, then holy orders was passed on. And along with the power of holy orders, the power, therefore, to change bread and wine into Christ's body and blood. And on Easter Sunday night, Christ added one more power to holy orders, the power of forgiving sins. When the actual institution of the sacrament of the priesthood, I repeat, defined by the Council of Trent, took place at the Last Supper, when Christ told the apostles, do this in commemoration of me. Now, question 61. How important is understanding the meaning of the Mass? Well, as we've said so many times in class, and I will make my language as strong as I can, not to understand our faith is a grave sin. I hope I'm clear. We must understand what we believe. Otherwise, as we've said more than once, in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, our Lord told the parable, remember, of the sower sowing seed. The seed fell on four kinds of ground. Only the fourth ground produced any fruit. But the first fruitless soil, remember, was the pathway on which the seed fell. And, as Christ said, the birds came along and picked up the seed. And, of course, nothing grew. When he was questioned by his apostles, what does that mean? Christ said, the seed falling on the pathway and being picked up by birds so that nothing grew symbolizes those who, having received the Word of God in their hearts, fail to understand it, period. Therefore, I know no more important therefore in any language than the therefore in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Therefore, having received the faith in their hearts and not understanding it, therefore, the evil one, the devil, comes along and, like a bird of prey, steals the faith from their hearts. The annual loss of Roman Catholics to the Catholic Church in North and South America, these are Vatican figures, is over 1 million annually. Thank you. And the two hardest hit dioceses in the United States are Detroit and Chicago. Between them, now, over 150 parishes closed in these two dioceses. For years, my 28th year in working for the Holy See, I'm told to concentrate on Detroit and Chicago, the two most devastated dioceses in North and South America. Do you still hear me? And the reason we have, as I've just quoted from Christ's parable of the sower, the United States is the most academically sophisticated nation in the world. The annual average, as I've said so often, is 5 million Americans on college campuses every year. And many don't even wait until they finish college. By the time they finish high school, they tell themselves, I'm no longer a kid. While I was taught as a child, I no longer believe, but get it. They no longer believe because they had never really understood what they believed. This is Christ, incarnate truth, telling us, unless we understand what we believe, inevitably, we will give up the Catholic faith. God was questioned. 61, 62. We're talking about understanding the meaning of the Mass. Of course, the same could be applied to all of the truths of the faith. But our present course is on the Holy Eucharist. Without the Mass, there would be no Eucharist. But to understand the meaning of the Mass is bedrock for understanding the Catholic faith. I'm sure I've said this more than once to at least most of you. A lecture that I listened to sitting in the front seat when Richard McBrien in Chicago, remember? For 1 hour, he denied that Christ had instituted the sacrament of the priesthood. It was a second and third century invention of the church, the priesthood. And I want to repeat this. When he finished, I thought somebody would object. Nobody did. The audience was Catholic and Protestant theologians, about 100 of us. Finally, I got up and turned my back to Richard McBryan and told the audience, everything that Richard McBryan told you was heresy. I turned around to smile, and McBryan, he wasn't smiling. And I gave a 15-minute lecture on the priesthood. And it is because of the Richard McBryans that our seminarians, Catholic seminarians in America now, are 10% of what they were in 1965. Well, they have a Saginaw diocese, and you know the rest. Why is this true? It is true because Christ instituted the sacrifice of the Mass as our principal source of grace to live lives of sacrifice. At the Last Supper, Christ instituted, as we've been saying, two sacraments, the Eucharist and the priesthood. At the same Last Supper, as St. John's Gospel makes so plain, Jesus told his followers to love one another even as he, who is our incarnate God, has loved us, even to dying on the cross. But that's impossible. That's why Christ had to. He had no option. He had to provide the means for that kind of selfless love by which he identified his followers. And just to be clear, is that kind of love that must obtain between husband and wife? Must be absolutely selfless love. Once, Luther and his followers denied the real peasants, denied the priesthood, and the sacrifice of the Mass. They did the next logical thing, told all their followers, anytime you want to, you can divorce and remarry. And my Vatican superiors tell me the Catholic Church of the United States will survive only where and as long as there are still bishops who believe that a valid, sacramental, consummated marriage, no power, no pope, no bishop on earth can dissolve. And the source of that strength to love one another, even as Christ has loved us, is mainly the Holy Eucharist. And, even more specifically, the sacrifice of the Mass. From which, we receive the grace to live lives of sacrifice. And sacrifice, I've said so often, is the surrender of something precious to God. What's the most precious possession we've got? Who doubts it? It's our own. Saccharine sweet will. Question 63. How is the Mass a public and social sacrifice of Christ? It is a social and public sacrifice of Christ because every Mass radiates grace to the whole world. Hear it, to those on earth and to those in purgatory. Consequently, there is no such thing as a private Mass. And there are now pseudo-theologians with a list of degrees behind their names. Fakes. Who say that a priest should never say a private Mass alone? Either there are people attending the Mass, or they'll tell you, it's no Mass. In plain Anglo-Saxon, that's spelled L-I-E. That's a lie. In other words, the Mass is social in the deepest sense of the word. Every Mass, even those said, for example, and by the way, being said, in communist Chinese prisons now, there are priests, some in prison for years. One of my great joys was living for a whole year with a priest who spent 28 years in a Chinese communist prison. And he managed to, well, say Mass. Very privately, but very socially, because, and get it, we speak of the sacraments, and we define a sacrament as something visible or sensibly perceptible which Christ instituted and which confers the grace which that sacrament signifies. The sacrifice of the Mass is the sacrament of the Mass. As we've said, I'm sure, more than once, last semester, the Eucharist is a sacrament three times over. It is the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass. It is the communion sacrament of Holy Communion, and it is the presence sacrament of the real presence. And the sacrament sacrifice of the Mass confers grace on the whole world, including Bill and Hillary Clinton. And do they ever need grace? I think I should tell you, I pray for them by name every day. In other words, the sacrament sacrifice of the Mass, whatever verb you use, would be legitimate, pours out grace, emanates grace, communicate grace to the whole world, including those who don't have a shred of faith. Pardon me. A shred of faith except in their own divinity. I didn't use language like this before, but I do now. It's what I call modern paganism. Absolutely monotheistic. One person is God. And we in English, if anybody finds out any language except the English that capitalizes the pronoun I, please let me know. I've been searching for years. And some Catholics, and I'm so happy to report it, in letters I receive from them, they will regularly lowercase the I. I like that. Wish I could do it in print. So it is mainly from the sacrifice of the Mass. And the whole world receives the sacramental grace of being able to surrender what is precious to the person. Surrender that to God. As I'm sure I've said more than once, that's the only war that has ever been fought in human history. The war between two wills, the human will and the divine will. And when God uses human beings to manifest His divine will, oh Lord, spare me. But that's the way it is. And we have the grace, the light to recognize God's will, and the strength to surrender our wills to His will. And that, in one declarative sentence, is all that life is about. Is the sacrifice of the Mass also the sacrament of the Mass? Well, I don't think we need to elaborate because we've just been talking about that. And it's our present Holy Father, a sheer genius. My friends at the Angelicum in Rome tell me Wojtyla got his doctorate in theology. His doctoral thesis was on St. John of the Cross. I am told in the history of that Dominican seminary, they never know from generations back of any more profound mind graduated by the Angelican than Carol Wojtyla. And let me tell you, to understand your faith, you must use your mind. And I've taught too many intelligent people, including 25 years, my own Jesuits. The laziest faculty in human nature, I can prove it from years of experience. The laziest faculty in human nature is the mind. If you will do anything, dig ditches, shovel coal, carry huge weights, climb mountains, anything but think. I can prove it. I've said over the years, teaching Jesuits, and over the centuries, the societies we call ourselves has made sure we get above average intelligent people. Well, that proves nothing, except they've got intelligence. But when I call on them, and they looked at me, I thought they were just wrapped in attention. Or they're wrapped in attention. Lost in their own minds. I don't say they don't know the answers. Didn't even hear the question. And this being the first full Sunday of Lent, am I correct? I give all of you a strong recommendation. If you want one mortification will change your lives, mortify yourselves during Lent by doing more thinking about the faith than you've ever done in your life. Start reading a man like Thomas Aquinas. Read those who understood their faith and described what they understood. My favorite definition of meditation as a form of prayer, my favorite definition is meditation is thinking in the presence of God. Place yourself in God's presence and then just, start thinking. Talk to Him. Lord, I don't understand this. And then, Lord, what does this mean? And that is why, as I've said more than once, I have found that being present before the Blessed Sacrament is the most enlightening experience in human life. Of course, you've got to be present there, aware of who's there. Question 65. What does Pope Paul VI say? About so-called private mass. The Vicar of Christ is emphatically clear in declaring that what some may call private masses are not really private at all. In every Mass, Christ offers Himself as head of the mystical body, which means of the universal church. And in every Mass, all the faithful are joined with Him in offering themselves to the Heavenly Father. Pardon me. I think I should change the wording of that statement. And in every Mass, all the faithful should be joined with Christ in offering themselves to the Heavenly Father. We've got only one life here on earth. And let me tell you, it makes all the difference in the world whether you really believe that we have only one mortal life here on earth. And after that comes eternity. My 3 weeks in Calcutta got reemphasized what I've experienced before. A calculated estimate of 16 million people living in that one city. And my estimate is 1 million have no roof over their heads. Living, sleeping on streets, on sidewalks. And behind, well, the caste system, as they call it, is Hinduism, which believes that there are reincarnations. If you don't accept your lot in your present incarnation, your next reincarnation will be worse. You might become a goat or a cat. And 800 million people believe that. All I can tell you is our Catholic faith is not only as we know it is the true faith in providing us with the means of reaching our eternal destiny. Our Catholic faith gives us the truth about life in this world. Why are we here? It is for only one purpose, to prepare ourselves for that eternity which will begin the moment our bodies, not we, our bodies die. And given what we are saying, the sacramental function of the Mass is to confer on us the graces we need to live lives of sacrifice. That's the distinctive Eucharistic grace of the Mass. Tomorrow morning, I'll be offering Mass at 6:30 at Jesu, as I did last week, 6:30 a.m. And there may be two or three more people coming to Mass during Lent. And of course, by now, I always give a short homily. If, what a conditional, if we really believed, if we really believed in the sacrifice of the Mass and the divinely instituted means of providing us with the grace of living lives of sacrifice, then we would do in the 20th century what the Christians did in the first three centuries. Remember? Attended Mass and received Holy Communion every day. Oh, what fools we educated people can be. Of course, we must both believe it with our minds, understand the meaning of what we believe. 66. How does Pope Paul VI exhort priests regarding the offering of Mass? Not just my commentary, but the Holy Father's words should be etched in bronze. He urges them to offer Mass every single day. The reasons are founded on our faith. Every Mass is the source of countless graces which the world so desperately needs. Every Mass sanctifies the priest who offers the holy sacrifice. Over the years, I've quoted St. Leonard and made the astounding statement that except for the daily offering of Mass on thousands of altars throughout the world, the human race will long ago have been destroyed because of its sins. And I don't hesitate saying one reason for the chaotic condition of the United States. You supply another adjective. I use the word chaotic. One reason is that we've lost 10,000 priests in the United States since the Second Vatican Council. And as some of you so well know, not all priests offer daily Mass. And not all priests offer, what shall I say, a reverent Mass. And I think this should be said. Thank you. Among the contributing factors to the efficacy of a Mass, in other words, just because Mass is offered, by that very fact, graces are conferred not only on those participating physically, say, in the church, not only on believers, but on the whole human race. But among the elements which determine how much grace is conferred are two elements. First, the openness to grace of the people, whether present at the Mass or anywhere in the world. In other words, grace is only as effective on us as our wills are open to the will of God. Let me repeat. The grace we receive is only as effective in our lives as our wills are open to do the will of God. But a second factor that contributes to the efficacy of the Mass being offered is the priest's own sanctity. Even the most unholy priest, provided he has been validly ordained and intends to offer Mass, the Mass is offered and grace is communicated. Let me repeat. Among the factors that contribute to the amount of grace, the efficacy of the graces that the Mass communicates, among the elements are the openness to grace of the people and the sanctity of the priest offering the holy sacrifice. And in my judgment, it is especially the weakening and the loss of faith in the Holy Eucharist on all three levels, as sacrifice, as communion, and as presence. This, I have no doubt in saying, is the main reason, and I'll use the word now as a noun, for the chaos, the moral chaos in one once civilized nation after another. Because it is from the Holy Eucharist on the three levels that we've identified that grace is mainly conferred on the human race.